Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're going to make our way through St. Paul's second half of his first chapter to the letter to the Ephesians today, where Paul is praying this beautiful prayer. I'm going to circle back. I touched on this a little while ago because I think it's so central. You can see the heartache of St. Paul, and he's praying for one of the fundamental prayers he has for those that he's shepherding, those he loves. He's just got the heart of a great shepherd, and what he prays for is for a revelation to come to those who believe, a deeper understanding with the help of the Holy Spirit of who the person of Jesus is. And Paul knows from his own experience, having encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, that his encounter with Jesus absolutely changed everything in his life, his entire way of seeing, of knowing. He was bowled over, literally, by Christ and his power and his glory and his majesty. And Paul could see. He was blind, and then he could see. Ironically, he physically could see, and he was blinded through the encounter with Jesus. And Jesus had a plan in mind for Paul to be healed through that whole process, but that's secondary. But what I want to talk about now is he was a zealous rabbi, a Pharisee, was everybody basically knew him. He was such a guy who lived it. He was convinced he knew everything there was to know about God, basically, but he didn't know, and he didn't certainly know who Christ was. When he encountered Christ, his eyes were open, and when he encountered him, what he encountered was Jesus the Lord, his majesty, his greatness, his power, his awesomeness, and it filled him simultaneously with an overwhelming sense of God's love, but God's power. It put the fear of God more deeply in him, birthed hope in him. It was transformational. So you can see, almost as background, why Paul continues to pray for those he was leading, the communities he had established, that their hearts and minds would be touched by the Spirit so they could see Christ, because knowing Jesus is what changes everything. And we can only know him and know him as Lord and know who he fundamentally is if we know him in the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who can open our hearts and minds to be able to see him. So verse 15, chapter 1, he says, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you." So Paul's clearly talking to people who believe in Jesus. He's talking to believers. Talking to, if you're listening, if you're Catholic, you're Christian, listening to this, he's talking to people like you. He's talking to people like me. He said, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." What's Paul after? He's after deepening knowledge of who Christ is. And he's praying to God the Father, because it's a miracle. Unless the Father works, right? Unless the Holy Spirit is at work, it's a divine gift to know God. It's God himself who must reveal himself to us. And we know in Jesus, to see Jesus is to see the Father. And God did reveal himself. He reveals himself in nature. He revealed himself in the people of Israel, through the prophets, through the whole story of the people of Israel. And it was all moving toward deeper understanding and deeper revelation until the Son of God himself came. And the veil was drawn back. And Jesus said to see him is to see God the Father. Paul wants us to see deeper into who Christ is. It's easy to miss it. You know, in our culture today, in many ways, Jesus is reduced to a great moral teacher, some kind of spiritual guru. Not the Lord Christ that Paul encountered on the road to Damascus, and who he's praying that the believers of Ephesus would see. Because if you see Christ, you see yourself in light of Christ, in his overwhelming power, victory, freedom, majesty, glory, and you realize you're united to him, all the things that seem so big in this life, so difficult, all the giants that we're facing, in the land, as it were. Everything shrinks just like that. So Paul, we'll continue. Again, verse 17. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you're called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that has been named, and not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul is describing what he's come to see and know about who Christ is, the revelation that he revealed. And he's now communicating that revelation. And he's praying that the Holy Spirit would open our hearts as we read this, even now today. As you hear this, what do these things mean? And the Holy Spirit can help us see the utter uniqueness and majesty of the person of Jesus. Now, a few weeks ago, as we were celebrating the Easter season and working toward Pentecost, it touched on some of this, the readings, especially around ascension, where Jesus is ascended at the right hand of the Father. That's kind of what Paul talks about here. Jesus is raised to glory and majesty, and God the Father gives over to him so much. But let's back up to verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. Just how he describes him. He's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Lord. He's our Christ. He's the one. What does it mean that he's Lord? That all authority in heaven and on earth and all power belongs to Jesus. He has been enthroned by God the Father. He's won the right to rule over us and rule over God's creation that was made through him. Everything was made through him and everything was made for him. And he comes to break the rebellion and the indifference of the human race that it seeks to separate itself and is enslaved to the work of the world, the flesh and the devil. He comes to break that regime of power and to bring the kingdom and rule and dominion of God to the earth. So when Jesus sits on the throne at the right hand of the Father, and the Father gives over to him the promised Holy Spirit, and he pours out the Holy Spirit, that's when the lordship of Jesus and the authority of Jesus begins to really get poured out on the earth, is through the day of Pentecost. And you see the authority on the apostles and the power that Jesus sends them forth in, and they proclaim the truth that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and that he's Lord, that he's Jesus. He's God's with us. He's Emmanuel. God saves. That's really what Jesus' name means. This Lord is a Savior, and he's Christ. That means he's the one who's anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who has the power, and he saves us through giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, giving us new life. And his Father is the Father of glory. With the sheer weight and renown and majesty of God the Father is given fully and totally to the Son. And the only way we can see God, the only way we can have, as Paul says here, our hearts enlightened, is if God the Father reveals it. Remember when Jesus asked the apostles, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And St. Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Holy One of God." And what did Jesus say to him? "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood has not given this to you." Flesh and blood can't access the knowledge of the utter, complete, and total uniqueness of the person of Jesus. Paul wants to describe for us what that uniqueness is all about. He's praying that when we see it, it's going to touch us at the core of our being, which is the human heart, the seat of decision. He wants us to see Christ in the core of our being. He wants us to say yes to Christ at the core and center of our being, to belong to him radically. If we think Jesus is just, if he's another prophet or, you know, spiritual guru, I'd pay some attention to him. But if he's just part of a lineup of other big spiritual leaders in human history, we can kind of pay attention to any of them. But Jesus isn't that. Jesus is Lord in Christ, is what the apostles wanted us to understand. He's the King of glory. He shares in all of God's power and authority. So Paul then describes, what does that mean? The Father has made him Lord in Christ, essentially. He said that you might know what is the hope to which you're called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurably great power, greatness of his power in us who believe. Paul wants us to be able, as we see Christ, to realize what Christ has done in us. To realize what Christ has done in us then becomes the source of our identity. There's a fundamental transformation in us, and we're changed, becoming sons and daughters of God, and that produces in us great power. The immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. There's power in faith, in surrendering ourselves radically to Christ in trust, abandoning ourselves totally to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and beginning to radically serve him. Belief here means this radical abandonment of our lives in trust, and leaning on Christ in such a way that if he wasn't there, you'd fall flat on your face. Your whole enterprise, your whole life now belongs to him. The life I now live, St. Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God. Right? And the working of his great power, Paul wants us to see, which was accomplished in Christ. How did this great power, this immeasurably great power that Paul's talking about in us, that we can live a new way of life, we can love like Christ loved, we can walk in him, we can be virtuous, we can obey the commandments, we can do signs and wonders as Christ did. We literally do the works of Christ. Why? Because we're united to Christ. That's the power, and ultimately that power in us is the power that's going to raise us from the dead and bring us into, by God's mercy, into the glory that belongs to Jesus. It's that power that Paul tells us raised Christ from the dead. Not only raised him from the dead, but made him sit at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. The right hand means all the authority, power, renown of God belongs to Jesus. And guess where you're going to be if you die in Christ? You're going to be with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Paul then says he's far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion. Political power, friends, is small potatoes. It seems big to us, nations, atomic bombs, you name it, everything in between. That seems big to us, but it's nothing. The nations are a drop in the bucket, Scripture says. Jesus is ahead of every dominion, every spiritual dominions, which are so much greater than our earthly dominions. He's the Lord of everything. We're going to talk about that and the implication of what happens to the human heart, what happens to us when we see Jesus in glory through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Join me tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.